Time for Crease Lightning with Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. He joins us every Monday. Kev, how you doing, my man?
Well, I'm joining you from a different location today, so I'm doing pretty good. Down in Maui for 3-4 days here with the family. So no complaints, my friend. No complaints at all.
Real tough life you got going on. Now, I do want to discuss Antti Raanta right now, the New York Ranger goaltender who is playing quite well for them. Back-to-back games, back-to-back shutouts on the 11th and the 9th of December. He also got in that game against Winnipeg. He's played three in four games, four nights, won all three of them, played extremely well. He has now started basically one out of every three games for the New York Rangers, much lower than Lundqvist is used to. I know that Lundqvist is a little bit banged up, but do you expect this to continue? Do you think the Rangers are going to play Lundqvist less in the regular season so he's more fresh for the playoffs?
Well, I think that would be a good idea for sure in the long haul. Obviously, everyone's ears perk up when they see Raanta start, what, three in a row now? And, you know, it's easy to justify going back to him when he's coming off shutouts. It was the first start that wasn't coming off the first one where it wasn't a shutout, where it was a conscious decision. Just generally, overall, he was playing better, in the opinion of Alain Vigneault than Henrik Lundqvist, that they gave him that start. That kind of starts the eyebrows raised, and then he pitches shutouts. And to be honest, like, there'll be a lot of attention on this, especially if Raanta gets another start against the Chicago Blackhawks on Tuesday. And, you know, extenuating circumstances, it's the Blackhawks, a team that he used to play for, has extra motivation for. He shut them out again just as part of this run when they were in Chicago. So it's sort of justifiable just based on the way he's playing right now, and justifiable based on his history with the Blackhawks. But because it will be four in a row and Henrik Lundqvist is your other goaltender, it's going to generate a lot of headlines. The good news is, like you said, overall over the course of the season, you need Lundqvist to get more rest than he has in the past. The other part is just, like, Henrik's a guy that will go back to work. He's not going to pout over this. He says the right things in the media. He's been in that New York market long enough that he knows how to handle this, both on and off the ice. And he's a guy who will, I mean, he'll just put the work boots on with goalie coach Benoit Allaire, and he'll sort it out. It's not like he's been terrible by any stretch. Maybe there's been a run here where he hasn't quite been Henrik Lundqvist-like. And so a little time off for him with his goalie guru is not a bad thing. The fact that it stretched to three and possibly four on Tuesday will create headlines, but I don't think over the course of a year it's anything to worry about. I think it's a positive. And, you know, having Antti Raanta able to give him more relief than he's gotten in the past should be something that pays off for the Rangers when they get in the playoffs. The other thing is here, the Rangers have just been kind of a little more exposed defensively after their incredible start to the season. You wonder sometimes in that case if, you know, the team buckles down a little more for the backup goalie. There can be that, you know, Henrik has been so good for so long, you wonder if it's kind of like, he'll bail us out tonight, it'll be okay. Whereas you just get that attention defensively sometimes when it's not Henrik Lundqvist in net. And not fair to him, but sometimes you get that over short samples, short little periods during the course of a season.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Bebo made his debut for the Leafs. It was interesting. Mike Babcock post-game, what stood out to me was he played 6'3" for the entire game. Now, Jonas Enneroff is 5'10". So basically it was that his way of saying, hey, this goalie played bigger rather than shrinking himself in the net. And, you know, something that plagued Freddie Anderson early in the season in Toronto.
Well, it was a really interesting comment because looking back over some of the footage and talking to some of the people that have got to watch the game tip to tail for a write-up in In Goal Magazine yesterday, Bebo didn't play aggressively. He played more of a contained game within the crease. But he is 6'3", and if he's patient within that game and beats passes to position, he doesn't necessarily have to be small. And this is where, you know, this is where the kind of Freddie Anderson got himself into trouble early in the year. When I talked to him last week for a story that ran the NHL.com Unmasked column on Friday, you know, he pretty much admitted that his first five starts in October, he was just needlessly aggressive, just well outside of the blue ice and really out of character. And that's where, you know, I asked him, like, where did this come from? And he felt like it was part, and we've talked about this before, sometimes goalies feel in new roles, new places, new contracts, like they have to be more, they have to do more, and that can lead to aggression. He said that Babcock and goalie coach Steve Briere did not ask him to play more aggressively, but that almost subconsciously, because that was his expectation coming in, given the way Babcock traditionally likes his goaltenders to play. I mean, this is not a secret. Throughout his time in Detroit and last year with the Leafs, he likes his guys to be outside of the blue ice. Talking to a goalie that played was on a PTO with him in Detroit one year, you know, it wasn't that he had a meeting with him and said, I need you to be aggressive, but even during practice, like, you know, just little harps and little reminders, get out of the blue ice, challenge that shot, we got the rebound, that kind of stuff. And that can kind of creep into your game. And Anderson made a conscious choice after the, you know, the first five starts, almost the first month, to go back to playing a contained game. He's 6'4". He doesn't need to be outside of the blue to look and play big. Antoine Bebo is the same way. Listen, Enros has been a good goalie throughout his career. Lots of ups and downs, but overall he's been a good goalie throughout his career. He hasn't been an overly aggressive goaltender, even though he's 5'10". Look at Jonathan Bernier at 5'11". He struggled in Toronto last year when they asked him to play outside the crease. It's not just a square inches game. It's not, hey, I get out of the crease and I look bigger. If you're not able to beat passes and get set, then you're turning yourself into a blocker because you come so far out that you don't give yourself time to react. And if you become a blocker at 5'10", now you're playing small. So I thought Babcock's comments the other day were interesting because he wasn't aggressive and he still felt like he played big. He wasn't chasing plays outside of the blue ice. And I think that's the way the game is going. I mean, how many conversations have we had this year about a guy who's having new success? And I've explained it by, hey, he's playing a little more controlled, contained in the crease game. Jimmy Howard. I've heard some talk about Pekka Rinne doing the same thing. He still plays active, but a little quieter than in the past. Freddie Anderson from October to November. The game is getting so fast laterally that it's hard for goalies to beat those plays and those passes if they're taking extra ice. It just, you know, hey, the further out I am, the more distance I have to cover off to get back to my post or across the crease. It's just simple geometry. And more goalies are discovering that even the ones that have been aggressive in the past are kind of coming back to that way of thinking that, you know, Rolly Melanson in Vancouver, which he's working on Thatcher Demko with, got to have blue ice in front of your toes. I don't know if it has to be as strict as he makes it, but certainly the trend is to come back and pull back and not play aggressive. And I think that's a function right now, especially with the game going so fast. You just can't get away. Very few guys can get away with a really aggressive game anymore.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Well, that leads me right into Jonas Gustafsson, Kevin, because his last few starts, oh, mama, that guy is covering a lot of ice, which is probably not ideal for a goaltender. What do you make of Gustafsson's, I would say, overactivity in the crease right now?
Well, I know it's something that, you know, goalie coach Dusty Schwartz has tried to rein in a little. And, you know, without having all his footage right here in front of me to look at, my understanding is as much as you think it's aggressive, it's not as bad as it was in Boston and especially in Detroit. And again, hey, what are we talking about? Detroit, Mike Babcock team, Jonas Gustafsson while he was there. I mean, I remember when he got a playoff start for the Red Wings. It might have even been against Boston. There were times when he was literally 3-4 feet outside of his crease. And again, if you're a good reactive goaltender and you come that far out, you're not giving yourself time to react. To me, that I think it's a real misconception that aggressive goaltending is athletic goaltending. And Anderson agreed, Jimmy Howard agreed, the further I come out, the more you're just basically playing an angle and hoping it's going to hit you. And that mindset can start to creep in even when you're not playing aggressively. You can become a passive blocker even if you back up on your positioning. In other words, aggressive positioning can make you a passive, reactive goaltender. So as far as Gustafsson goes, I know there's been an effort to pull him in a little back bit, to make him a little, you know, a little quieter, a little more stable within the blue ice. But Detroit for a couple years, Boston, there's a track record here of him being aggressive. It's not an easy switch to flip for a goaltender. You have to really trust it. He's been out there playing that way for a long time, and he's kind of got some explosive lateral movement that's allowed him to recover that distance to make saves. I'll be honest with you, the whole monster phenomenon when he came into the league was, remember how it was all YouTube-based, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were all spectacular saves, and as everyone was praising this guy for the athleticism, I remember watching that same YouTube footage that had teams lining up for him and saying, why the hell is he keep putting himself in a position to have to make these saves? And it's not going to work here. So I think it's just the way he's played for a long time. I don't think it's an easy flip for or a switch for him to flip as maybe some other guys. Howard talked about it in the preseason. He felt naked back there, his exact words, because he just felt like being that far back, he must be giving up net. He must be exposed. And it can take a long time to kind of convince guys that you really don't have to worry about the 6x4 in front of you. You really have to kind of learn it's a space. If you're on the right angle and in the right position, even inside the edge of your crease, the space where the puck can beat you in front of you, kind of the Swedes call it box control, that you see the guys get the fishing lines out and take it from each corner of the post and put the run it to the puck, and you can see those lines. The space in front of you is very small, but it can take a while to get guys to trust that, that they don't have to open up and defend the 6x4 behind them, that that space they have to defend in front of them is a lot smaller. And Gustafson looks better, but it's not quite there yet. I don't think it's been an easy change for him.
No, it definitely hasn't. Like he's, and you see him sometimes come across, Kevin, sliding on his knees, right? Like almost on his pads to get saves. And it seems that, and obviously I don't understand the goalie position overly well. That's why we like to have you on. So when he's doing that, what is that? Is that just him trying to save himself? Is he being too aggressive? Because we've seen that in many games this year where suddenly Gustafson's kind of, you know, well across the crease and looks like he's almost sliding on his pads.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, we talked about Devan Dubnyk last week, and one of the keys, as much as they talked about head trajectory, but one of the keys for Devan Dubnyk came from Sean Burke. And for him, managing his depth comes down to one simple formula. If I can't beat that play or that pass across my crease on my skates, that means I've got too far to go and I'm too aggressive. That's his rule of thumb for managing his depth. There are going to be situations, you know, backdoor plays, bang-bang plays where you're expecting a one-timer on a cross-ice pass, say, below the hash marks, where you just don't have time to get across on your feet, so you slide across. And kind of the idea there is, while you're in motion, while you're moving across, you're at least taking away the bottom of the ice with your pads. Whereas if you come across on your feet and that shot beats you, you're open along the ice. So again, the concept is, you know, if you're sliding across, at least you're taking away the bottom of the ice while you're traveling, while you're moving. You're kind of taking that goal option away. And guys that slide well, and Gustafson is a guy that when he's under control of the slides can still maintain active hands above him. You know, you can make saves that way. I would argue that he does it a little more than other guys, and that is a function of being a little more aggressive. In other words, his window, sort of his zone map, if you were to draw a map of the zone for him, if he's more aggressive in his positioning, the sliding zone for him, the area on the ice where he needs to make a slide across as a default, is further out because he's got further to go, if that makes sense. And you know, it's interesting, again, not to, you know, to go back to Jimmy Howard, that's what they felt was his problem. He was coming across on lateral plays on his knees all the time because he was so aggressive, and so he was never really set. And now he's able to beat those plays on his feet, on his skates, and he's waiting for that shot. You've seen the rebound control improve because he's set, he's square, and it feels like everything is coming at him right now, so he's able to lean and absorb into shots and control rebounds. If you're sliding across as a default, you may be making that first save, but you've got less control for the second and the third.
And one last one for you. Something we don't talk about, but the goaltenders are joining the composite stick area now. Many of them had been sticking with foam, the foam core slash wood, but we're seeing Carey Price, I think, is the latest one to go. What's the benefits of the composite stick? How does it impact goalies? And here's my question. Do you think the goalie blade needs to be that high, Kevin? Why does it need to be that wide? Couldn't they just shave it off?
In terms of height of the goalie blade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you could make that argument. We've seen Corey Hirsch make an interesting argument to actually not let it be as long or as wide, like kind of give him a little stubby to play with kind of thing, make those saves a little harder. I'd be honest with you. In terms of the height, I can't really think of a good reason for it in terms of why it's max height.
Exactly.
You could probably thin it out a little bit. It's not like at the end of the day, it's not going to be as thin as a player stick. So, you know, if a player stick can make its way through a cage or into the eyes, you don't have that concern with a goalie paddle. As for the switch, it has been interesting. For the longest time, goalies were, kind of the last bastion of wood and foam core sticks in the National Hockey League. They were the only guys that clung to it, and the reason for the most part was they like the feel, especially when you're trying to steer low shots along the ice. A wood foam core blend just kind of softens it a little bit. And in the early years of Composite, the companies hadn't done a great job of kind of taking away the ringers that you could get off of it and some of the vibration. We've seen the technology come a long way. There's one company that actually measured the vibration frequency that the hand feels and designed a rubber insert that goes just under the paddle that basically doesn't kill all vibration, but it kills the vibration that the hand feels. So that increased some of the feel. It's just the technology's gotten better, and it's lighter. You know, one of the guys that kind of started this recent trend, and I would say right now, talking to two of the, you know, the two companies that are leading this right now, Bauer was ahead of the curve, and CCM in the last 2 years, they changed their supplier. They went in and totally rebuilt their composite stick because, to be honest, the last one wasn't good. It didn't have great feel. And they've now got 13 NHLers in it. Bauer's got 17. So quick math says that's 30, and that's half the league. 3-4 years ago, it was made 5-6 guys. So it's a big increase, and I think it is the feel. But it's also, as guys trust the feel and can accept the feel improving, they're seeing the benefits of lightweight. It frees up your blocker. That's the one thing that makes goaltending tough on the blocker side, is the fact you've also got to be cognizant of stick position. Having it lighter allows you to have a more active blocker. As a matter of fact, again, the guy that led it was Luongo. Remember a couple of years ago, the whole Robbie Tallis almost ended up in net because they both got hurt, Luongo and Montoya. Well, for Luongo, it was a fractured bone in his shoulder that night. Came back and played, so Tallis didn't have to. But he missed a couple of weeks after it. Well, the bone healed. And as he was trying to get back on the ice and work his way back into shape to try and get back in the net, because they were in a playoff race at the time, he switched to a composite stick because he just needed something lightweight while he was going through his reps and make blocker saves. And he just found the benefits of the lightweight stick and the improved feel. He's never switched back. And so more and more guys see that. They're willing to give it a go. And you know, I got like Price, saw him in the summer. He was toying with it. Now he's in it full-time in the CCM new composite. It's improved so much that all their old fears or all the stereotypes about goalie composite sticks from a couple of years ago have pretty much disappeared.
Kev, great stuff. Enjoy Maui. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jason.